I have a message here, a couple of them. Listening on KU band, our own satellite. We have a big satellite, analog, GE3 transponder 20. We're there 24 hours a day. We have our own little private dish network, a KU band digital satellite. And this is one of the watchers on the KU band. My wife invited three Cambodian Buddhists, a mother and two daughters, to watch you teach the Word of God on Channel 56 last Sunday, and then come to a live service to learn more today. They were the first ones in the parking lot this morning. God is so wonderful to allow my wife to be so excited about your teaching that it's infectious and irresistible even to the Buddhists from Cambodia. Yeah, that's a nice message. The pastor takes the kids from 2 to 12, so the adults can sit in the service. It's a university-level teaching, and you got to concentrate. So I take the kids from 2 to 12. The nursery takes care of them under that. From 2 to 12 in air-conditioned buses with adult supervision, leaving at 11, returning at 1, to one of the many museums within a few minutes of our cathedral downtown. And this is from a 10-year-old girl from Downey. I had a lot of fun today at the Science Center and the festival there. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for taking me there. You're welcome. And here, listen to this from San Bernardino. I don't know why. All of you regulars, the King's Houses, King's Tylers, and particularly the Philippian Band, have not gotten a KU band dish. You can get it for less than $600. Some get it for $300. KU band number 50. Wow. Pastor, my new KU band dish is so clear I can count the freckles on your face. I was able to afford a KU band dish and pay my sixth tabernacle offering for the season today. And at the cathedral, too. Satan's a liar, but God's so generous and gracious to me as I continue to learn the walk of faith through your marvelous teaching. I will pay a seventh tabernacle offering before November. All this above the tithe and the KU band. Every one of you ought to have one. I mean, I can flip a switch and talk only to the KU band members. Nobody can scan the sky and find us. Give me 3,000 of those, and I'll tell you things nobody else is ever going to find out. An elderly Jewish man called, listening on K-Doc, said, I've never heard this man before, and I'm very interested. Who are the two actors that played grumpy old men? Not Brando. Walter Matthau, yeah, he was one of them, but not Brando. Jack Lemmon, and I appreciate this call from the elderly Jewish man, but I remember being in Chasen's restaurant before it closed down. Walter Matthau and his wife were there, and she came to my table for about 20 minutes, thanking me, saying, Dr. Scott, I've learned more about the Old Testament listening to you teach than I do from my rabbis. I thought that was a wonderful compliment, and I'll be on these Jewish sacrifices again next Sunday. Chatsworth, very powerful message. I never heard anything like this, and I've been going to church for 35 years. I've been listening for about a month. I'll be coming down to the cathedral. You're really something. I love this teaching on the blood. Come on down. This is the first or second time caller. Saugus, this teaching is very exciting. How can I get a CD of this great teaching? Well, every time I complete 12 messages in the Roman series, a new packet of 12 CDs, CD-ROM, is produced. We're in the 220s, so I don't know what the number was today, but when it crosses 12, they'll make another packet of 12 CDs. The entire Roman teaching, over 200 messages, is on CD-ROMs, and obviously you can get it on tape or VHS tape. Just call and ask for the tape and book list. What an excellent message, Fountain Valley says. I miss those old hymns that emphasize the blood of Jesus. You band members, get in your place. That emphasize the blood of Jesus. That dimension is missing from the so-called contemporary gospel music. Yes, 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 it is. San Bernardino, I thought the message was great. Thank you for the teaching. I have the communion elements ready. We're going to go to the table of the Lord, but the best way to shut off the calls so we're ready to go, we have live music in here now, like the old days. The band is here. I can't have them here every night, but they can be here Sunday night. Most churches have Sunday morning and Sunday night service. So before we go to the table of the Lord, you ready? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I told you to get the elements at home. That's the way they took the Lord's Supper in New Testament days, as the first one was in the home, an upper room of John Mark's mother. The preparation of the communion today was preached. We don't have to go through all those manipulations, procedures, rituals to come into God's presence. We don't have to. Somehow prepare the way for God to come to us and exercise the fellowship and the blessings that He wants to give us. Now, I commented this morning, a lot of people twist the meanings of this simple little ritual, the cup and the bread. The night before He was betrayed, He took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body." None of this, from which we get the word hocus pocus, the Latin hocus corpus meus, "This is my body." His flesh was on His bones, as they had kept for centuries, not even understanding why. The remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt, the people of Israel, the type of the bondage from which we've been delivered, sin. And as they kept the Passover every year, which started their religious year, there was nothing mystical about the bread, nothing mystical about the wine. It was an act of remembrance that all that they were and all that they had was because of the grace of God's deliverance from Egypt, but anticipating the great day when these elements would be displaced and given their full meaning. They had to put blood of a slain lamb on the door that night. They didn't understand all of its meaning. It didn't matter whether they were short, fat, old, young, all of them were sinners. There wasn't some rating system. And those that were more holy only had to put a daub or two on the door or put blood on one of the posts. All equal. All they had to do is believe God's promise, slay the lamb, put blood on the door, and the death angel passed over that night. But the firstborn of the house that was spared ever after belonged to the Lord. They ate the roasted lamb for strength behind closed doors as an act of faith, and as with the blood having been applied, God free to heal their bodies for the journey as they left. And they ate with a staff in hand, sandals on their feet, again an act of faith, they're going to be delivered. There's a passage in the Hebrew as they went out that the word literally means they went in groups of five, and if you could fly a helicopter, which they didn't have in those days, over the Israelites marching across the desert in groups of five, the number of grace. Cecil B. DeMille, in his great movie, The Ten Commandments, had people going out on crutches. Psalm 105 says they went out, and there was not a feeble one in their midst. God delivered them. God healed them that night. For centuries, they kept that remembrance ritual with the broken bread and the cup of wine. The night before, all that that shadow pointed to, the substance and the reality was going to happen on that Passover day that followed. Their Passover began at sundown. And that evening, Jesus took the bread and the cup and gave it its substance meaning. All of that pointed to what he would become. And he said, "This is my body." As I said, his flesh was on his bones. The cup says, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. And this do in remembrance of me." All those elaborate sacrifices, applying the blood, preparations, all the various animals, all the different types to try to display all the benefits that came from what Jesus would do, culminated that night and the following day. And when he cried, "It is finished," on the cross, the reality of his broken body and his shed blood consummated. And he left this simple ritual. Until he comes again, we're to remember his body was broken for me. The chastisement, the word is musar in the Hebrew out of Isaiah 53, a kind of punishment required to get something back that had been lost. Requitement. The musar of our shalom, our peace. Shalom means well-being, includes health. Was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'll come to that when I go to the bread. But the focus today has been the blood. And he took the cup. "This is my blood, which is shed for you." I could have gone on today another hour with verses. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God had said it. That finalizes it. For sin comes death. All have sinned and come short. Hamartia, fall short. We're not measured horizontally of whether we stand taller in righteousness than our neighbor. We're measured in relationship to God. And all have hamartia, fallen short, and come short of the glory of God, which Hebrews 1 says he is, the literal outraying doxa of God's glory. We ain't it. And I've heard people get this cup and misquote Paul and say, "You better examine yourself before you partake. Because if you eat and drink unworthy, you eat and drink damnation to yourself." Krim is the word in the Greek, a temporary punishment. And he describes that temporary punishment. Many are sick, weak, sick, and die of that. And he never said unworthy. Axios with the long O. We in the English use the letters L-Y instead of just the simple Y to distinguish between the adverb and the adjective. The adjective modifies the actor. Adverbs modify the action. He said, "eating and drinking unworthily." That's an adverb. Has to do with the manner of partaking. You eat and drink unworthily. You eat and drink this damnation to yourself, which is krema, a temporary punishment, like hitting a dumb mule on the head to get its attention, to prevent you from the katakrama, which at the end of that chapter is the ultimate judgment on the world of sinners. You eat and drink unworthily only when you eat and drink, and he defines it later, not discerning. What this is to be seen through to is like an icon. You look beyond it to the reality of something that happened 2,000 years ago. He said it's finished. Again, to the book of Hebrews, I said it earlier, he sat down, having accomplished our salvation by himself, without all those things that they had to do in the Old Testament, because the barrier of sins kept God from coming to us, as well as us coming to him. You eat and drink unworthily when you don't look through this. Concentrate and focus your attention, and that's why I teach when you come to the table of the Lord. Not discerning the body. Well, I've heard everything done to that too. Like we have to look around and discern the body of Christ today and lift their sicknesses. Well, the Bible says we ought to pray one for another, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. In 1 Corinthians 11, if you understand the syntax of the Greek words, it's his body. Referring back to what we are to discern that he did and accomplished in his work. He shed, as Peter calls it, his precious blood. And Peter, in that same passage, talks about we Christians as peculiar people. That word means odd today, but in Old English, it was related to pecuniary. We are peculiar people because we are expensively purchased. He bought us with his own blood. He paid the price of our sins. He poured out his soul unto death. He laid his life down. And by his precious blood, we've been redeemed. And as I taught on the two goats, the Lord's lot had to placate his wrath. Had to justify, if you will. We talk about justifying us. Had to justify God's forgiving us without compromising his integrity of the absolute declaration for sin comes death and we're sinners. And vicarious substitution was introduced early on when he took the substitute of an animal before he would talk with Adam and Eve at length after he found them and covered them. Those Adam and Eve would cover themselves with leaves of vegetation of their own doing. He killed the animal, shed its blood, and covered them with the animal skin, anticipating, as that bloodline runs through the entire Old Testament, the day when the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world would buy up all those past forgivenesses, would show that God was still righteous when he was forgiving all those past sinners. That on this great day, he, with a blood that was worth more than the whole world combined, would shed his blood for us and carry the evidence of the finished work, his own resurrected presence, to the courts of heaven, and then return those 40 days to manifest himself as proof God had accepted. We talk about faith in the blood of Christ. God had faith in his blood when he sent him on the mission. Jesus had faith in his blood when he completed the mission. No wonder the book of Isaiah opens saying, "Mi hei amin." Who he amens, lishmu atenu, the hearing of us. He bore our iniquities. He paid the price. And first and foremost, God is satisfied. God doesn't require any more. Your works are not necessary for your salvation. He bought it. And now we belong to Him. And with boldness we come with this cup and look through it to the reality. He died for me. If no one else responded, He did it to cover God for past forgivenesses, starting with Adam. But to those that see the reality of what He did and say amen to the cup, amen to the blood, God can freely then give us all things, including the little side issue that the broken bread represents that I'll talk about in a moment. God can give us His Spirit to empower us to be what we can't be for simple faith alone. But it starts right here. We freely receive His grace at the mercy seat, the place where we recognize He died for me. I'm not worthy, but as I lift this cup and you lift it with me, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. All sickness flows ultimately from the sins of Adam and Eve that separated them from the source of life and created the wall between God's energizing substance and reality. God didn't create Adam and Eve to be sick. But as their sins walled God away, and He had to relate to them with these shadows of what was to come, the blood always in the forefront to justify His relating to them at all, and postponing, as the earlier verse in Romans said, postponing, and as the rest of the 25th verse in Romans 3 will say, passing over the sins that are past, from the creation until now, not killing them, all of us, for our sins. In addition, separated from God's life, sickness began to mar the creation. Now, sickness is not the cause of your individual sins, and you're not a second-class citizen because you're sick with God or anybody else. But you have to see through the eyes of faith as you understand the power of the blood. Old-time Christians used to plead the blood. I mean, talk about going to a bank with a card and getting something out of an ATM machine. Recognizing and having faith in the blood. Understanding that to God that satisfied His demands. And then He can be the father of the prodigal who takes three steps to our one. But God must have lamented the sickness that crept into humankind. And as He offered that which was necessary to reconcile us to at one with God and allow God to come to us and then lay our sins on the goat and send it to the wilderness, at the same time He took care of that which was lost, the health that Adam and Eve had. The musar, I repeat, the Hebrew word, the musar of our shalom. Go to any lexicon, shalom includes health, well-being. You don't even find it under peace. It's health and well-being. The requitement, the punishment to get back that which was lost. Not only our sins were laid on Him, our sicknesses were laid on Him. And the requitement of our health was upon Him. And with His stripes, Peter, looking back, said, we were healed. That's why I teach you every time we come here, the power in the blood and the accompanying bread at this table. God can't say no, as He couldn't say yes to us about anything. until the consequence of our sins were removed and he justifiably, without breaching his integrity, could accept us again. On that same payment, through faith in his blood that the Father had, that Son had in his own, God can't say no without denying the preciousness of that blood and the covenant he made with his Son. All that's needed, the only condition. That's what delivered me from cancer, seeing that. He amens the hearing of us. Amen. So be it. Make it yours as we take the bread and together say, with his stripes, I was and am healed. Now, we have an air conditioning problem in here, so I'm not sure how long we're going to stay here tonight. We could stay till 11 o'clock if we can take the heat. Your calls will determine it. You've listened to the service, almost an hour of teaching. The communion, almost 30 minutes of teaching. Now it's time for my congregation, for whom this time is primarily purchased, to respond. Now, I'm going to tell you your pastor's disappointment on one thing. We're about 250 short of the tabernacle participants that have to have it done by November. Now, that's for people that have heard me teach about the tabernacle, the type that follows the great day of atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles and its meaning, the one feast, these are the feasts of the Lord when it says that in the Old Testament. Literally, these are the set times of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said they are shadows of things to come, and Christ is the substance of all of the feasts. The tabernacle feast keeps going to the end of time as we know it, for the 1,000 years during the millennium. The feast of the tabernacles will be kept and its true meaning taught to the world. Recognizing that every year, and we tie it to Thanksgiving, the closest to a real religious festival in this country, our people respond, and it's part of their annual participation. To be exact, you're 259. 259 of you, less than the average of every year for the last 10 or 15 years. Now, the economy is not dependent on Bush or Schwarzenegger. Your economy is dependent on God. That's what the Feast of the Tabernacles was about. They moved out of their houses and built temporary structures of tree limbs and brush shoots and leaves and natural vegetation. And they lived in either in the street or the yard or on the roof of their house. And for those 7 days, they would look at what they had, be it a great house or a small house, and remember that this was all that they had, this temporary structure, when God delivered them from Egypt's bondage and set them on the path and the walk of faith. And they would remember that all they had came from God. And there are those that say the Feast of the Tabernacles was the most joyous feast of the Jewish community. 203 sacrifices given in 1 week. Now, I've interpreted that, and you congregants know. Now, wake up. Christmas is approaching, which ends Secret 16. Thanksgiving's literally days away, that ends the Feast of the Tabernacles participation this year. Get busy with these phones, including making your reservations for next Sunday. Now, come on, get on the telephone. Well, Dr. Scott, I want to thank you for bringing the communion back into the home, as I was one of those who used to think that the pastor would have to say some special prayer before we partook. Thank you for the teaching. I'm glad that you have gotten it. I misspoke earlier. I was looking at the reservations for next Sunday. They're down about 200 and the number I named has changed a bit now. I now see where the tabernacle commitments are, and there we're 308 short of the average. Now, I'm talking to my congregants. We don't want anybody participating or sending money unless I've taught you. God's not a beggar. Just like we talked about the atonement, God had to have his need met. He had to have the barrier of his own integrity, nature, that which holds the universe together, had to be reconciled with his love and mercy of wanting to find a way to start over with us and actually do the righteousing in us if we'd trust him. He's not begging to get in. He had a barrier to cross, the integrity of his own nature, that to simply treat us sinners as though we're not would compromise and furthermore undermine completely our faith in his promises on the positive side. The tabernacle offering and giving to God is by people that recognize they've been bought by his blood. And with that price alongside ours, how can we do less than give our best? I can't believe my congregation is 308 short of the average. And I think maybe some of you aren't hearing the tabernacle participation counts as part of your secret 16 commitments. It ought to urge all of you that have made the secret 16 commitments to quickly participate in the tabernacle offering so that you are that much closer to your Christmas deadline and commitment. Now, come on, folks. Now, I also want to comment, since I'm talking to my congregants, we're getting close to the backbone of this ministry being carried by volunteers. Many of you, I was going to have them stand this morning, many of you are volunteering one day a week. Just volunteering it to whatever we want you to do. I was going to read a letter today from one person who writes and says he wants to volunteer a day, but he doesn't, and he was even trained. We had assigned him to be a second man in the studio because I want to be able to run a program. All these camera people are volunteers. And I want be able to run an airship with volunteers. He wrote a letter. He's willing to volunteer as a voice of faith or security somewhere, but not in a studio. Well, now, he happened to be an ex-employee, and the price of you being allowed to come to church as an ex-employee, I can forgive you for your failures, but the calling of God without recall. Now, I hire people that are just bought and paid for, mercenaries. I remember when I shocked San Francisco with the oldest publishing house in San Francisco when we obtained it. And I introduced, we had five unions in the shop, and I introduced a four-day week and paid them five. I know how to operate like that. But that's light years removed from a spiritual commitment where you step out of the mass. And your life has suddenly changed, like Elijah walking out of the woods and changing Elisha's life forever. You don't write the terms. So he can sit home and listen until he figures out. I'll put up with him stumbling around in here. But I won't compromise I mean, if I'd have been Patton, I wouldn't have just slapped that soldier. I'd have knocked him out. I mean, that's one of the greatest disgraces in the history of mankind. Patton's in there. He will not allow. It's my nerves, sir. He will not allow a coward to contaminate those wounded soldiers in that hospital when he had just prayed over one that just passed away. None of us would be here today if it weren't for George Patton. And then the politicians got rid of him. I'm one of the few preachers that believes there's a war going on in the spirit world. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, I understand what a pastor is. He's to perfect you, bring you to completion. Saints don't perfect pastors. And all the skunks in the world cannot obliterate the real when you see it. I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ as an under-shepherd and give account for you. I don't interfere with your personal life, but a tenth of your time belongs to God. And when you come here to work, you do what I tell you to do. Just as simple as that. If I have to hire people because of what they know how to do, I'll hire and fire them, and I know I've bought a whore. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
But don't participate as part of the Bride of Christ and think you can write your own terms like an airhead Hollywood starlet. I have no tolerance for cowards. I have no tolerance for people that are afraid of failure. I have no tolerance for it's my nerves, sir. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So you can take that letter and live with it. Try to find a page in God's book that it will fit into. And don't think about coming to the cathedral until he gets his head in the right place. It's a privilege to come to the cathedral. It's a privilege to be here. All these musicians are volunteers. That's a word of art. It doesn't exist in reality. They're servants of the Lord, helping me get this job done. And I chastised one of them when he came in. He better be here when this festival starts, and calling another band member and saying, I'll be here at 8:30 doesn't work. I'm the pastor. I'm expecting you to be here. You better make sure I know it.
Yes, sir.
If you're not here. Now, having made volunteering so attractive, I want some more of you congregants. You know, it's sort of, you get up for a couple of weeks and then the holidays come and family and go home and eat Luke 14. God must be first. He bought you with his own precious blood. And I said when I came here 28 years ago, now going on 29, if you're going to be a Christian, be one. Make a commitment. That's what the faith of Jesus is. You make a commitment. He kept his to death. That's why I came down so strong on not eliminating that as the starting point of Christianity. Simple belief in Jesus will not buy you any more than the devil's going to get. The devil believes and trembles. Doesn't save him. The faith of Jesus, which is our pattern, took a promise of God, a commission from God, hung his life on it to death. And God kept his word and raised him up. And that really is why you ought to be a Christian, for your resurrection over there. Now, I need security volunteers. We're being decimated with people that get sick at this time of year. They're probably not taking communion often enough. But they get sick. I get sick too. I keep my powder dry, do everything I can to avoid it. But this is the germ season. We're real thin, we need some more volunteers. Now get on the phone and tell us when, and make a commitment and keep it. I need volunteers to train in here. I need volunteers for security. And what in the world's the matter with you? We had a bunch of you come and volunteer for training on Saturday night to be a camera person. Then all of a sudden, it's like you all disappeared. I need people at Saturday night, 6:30 or 7?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock at the cathedral to train to be a camera person, whether we use you or not. I need volunteers. They're not going to be treated like a volunteer. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say thank you now, and maybe by next July I'll say it again. That's all the thanks you get. You do your job for the one who died for you. Now, I want these phones jammed up with all you happy volunteers now. Get on the telephone. I want an apology from that jerk that wrote that stupid letter, or don't ever think about coming to the cathedral again. I won't let the people there be contaminated by somebody with that kind of attitude. Now, I don't want to interfere with your calling, so I'm going to play another song. Make your calls right now. Make your reservations. Call in, you that are going to be volunteers for security, the hours you're available. We'll assign you the place. You that are going to be volunteers, the regulars always call, but you that are going to be new volunteers for training tonight, new for training Saturday night at the cathedral as a camera person, call and let us know you'll be there. Come on now, get on telephone. Stupid, we're bucking a Laker game tonight, and we're bucking an awards show. My congregants are watching, but there's also thousands of you, because I look at the ratings. We're about the only religious program in Los Angeles that gets ratings. And because I've been talking to my congregants, a lot of you that normally call, some of you first-time callers, are just sitting there watching. Come on. We're considering adding Saturday night. Then we'll be 7 nights a week. Every night, Monday through Friday from 10 to 11, we're there just teaching. Sunday night is when I test the waters and have a chance for you to call me, see your messages sitting here, and talk to my congregation. For 28 years, I've pastored by television. You don't have to come to the cathedral to be a Christian. I half humorously say you do for me to be a Christian, but you need to be there to provide inspiration for the service that goes around the world. We're 24 hours a day on internet, radio, satellite, a wave of satellites all across Europe and Asia, they're down to South Africa, starting at 7:30 on Sunday morning in London. 1 o'clock is the only deviation in India. The rest of the time, in a series of satellites, we hit everywhere all the way to Indonesia for an hour every Sunday morning. We're around the world. Not only the home page, but you go to the home page, GeneScott.com, DrGeneScott.com, and there's several avenues to get into the internet, and we're there live, sound and picture, off satellite, 24 hours a day. We provide Channel 56 because this is my home church, pastoring here, just starting my 29th year. So I've pastored from this chair. I don't know a pastor anywhere that gets your message of need as fast as I do. I don't have to conduct weddings and have you slip an offering to me in my pocket after the offering. Just send your marriage license to me and I'll bless it. Well, I wish you'd baptize me. Well, baptize yourself in your swimming pool, or go down to the beach and have your fellow members of your family do it. Simplify these things. It's like the table of the Lord. It's an act where you commit yourself in faith and make this testimony of dying to self and rising in newness of life, that you believe God will do that for you. He's opened the door. But people listen besides here. I just want the calls from 56 tonight. It's already 1 in the morning on the East Coast. We were on this morning in Dallas. Listen to some of their responses. Edgewood, Texas. I've been a Christian for 30 years and have never heard any teachings that are clear and precise. Lake Kiowa, Texas. I want to let Dr. Scott know how much Dr. Scott means to me. To be there every Sunday. I've been over the road of denominations and have worn it out. You're the only one worth listening to. Denton, Texas. I've been watching you for years. You're my pastor. You teach and it speaks to my heart. I hold you up in my heart in prayers and I thank you for all you've done for me. You are a blessing in my life. On it goes. Washington, D.C. We were there this morning. There's stacks of messages. Riverdale, Maryland. Channel 5 in Washington, D.C. I've been feeling down in my faith. Your program has really helped me get back up there. I feel inspired to take my life to the next level and get a new direction. I find Frederick Merritt, and I find Oscott very interesting. I'm up because I broke my arm and can't sleep right now. Could you please send me some literature? Yes, Ashburn, Virginia. Give me the name. I want to tell Dr. Scott I thoroughly enjoyed and understood his message. I was just flipping through the TV channels and accidentally found him. He teaches at the University Cathedral. I want to learn more about it. Washington, D.C. Dr. Scott's an accurate teacher of the Word of God. He's what we're missing in churches today. He knows how to teach a message so people can understand it. Alexandria, Virginia. Very good. It's one of the very few that you can watch that's any good. He has something to say and you can apply it to your life. On it goes. But I want you folks here in Los Angeles to get on the phone and call me right now. We're sitting here with the air conditioning out under these lights and it's hot, so comfort me. Get on the telephone. You know, I said I want you congregants to volunteer for training as a camera person on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, at the cathedral. You never know what's going to happen. For example, this was last night. One of the people, he's behind this camera right now, so he dreaded this moment. But he was out in the truck, and the band was practicing that uncloudy day. There he is, that's John. Uncloudy day. And he says, that makes me feel like dancing. And my wife, Melissa, was there, and she said, well, you know, put your body where your mouth is. Watch this. To be in partnership with another person, they had one of these big speedboats that race in the coast in those big waves. They had a name on it. They named it. And some, they gave it a name that was sort of a hooray, go get him, Dr. Scott. But they disguised it with phonetic words that allowed them to spell something that those in the know figured out what was being said. You know, they're real people who go to this church. But now Reggie, he plays the piano. Conservative Reggie. You got that tape ready? Let that one go. This is Saturday night at the cathedral. Music practice and camera training. And dancing practice, I guess. Good messages. Hawthorne, California. Thank you, Pastor, for getting to the truth that no one else is getting to. Watching on KDOC. Another on KDOC, Tahunga. I just about fell out of my chair when I saw John the cowboy dancing there. I want to see that again, and Reggie's great too. Quotes are great. I want to see that again too. Well, for one person I won't do it, but if some more of you call and want to see it again, I might let you do it. Pacoima, a new watcher. He's outstanding. I'm a new watcher. Just picked him up. I'm totally blown away, but Dr. Scott, I didn't know anything like this existed. I'm changing my schedule to come to see him in the Bible collection. Keep this time on 56. And Laverne says, thank you for the Ethiopic display. What a marvelous language. I'd like to show you this. We, unlike the Catholic Church that has the Stations of the Cross, we have the Stations of the Book, where we display the history of the Bible and these original manuscripts. In fact, the Hall of the Papyri that is just being gotten ready, almost ready to be put on display, which has some marvelous exhibits of that fragment of Mark from the Dead Sea Scrolls, cave number 7, the Magdalene fragments, gospel fragments that date back to before 70 A.D., notwithstanding the false impressions given by the Jesus Seminar, and this new book, The Da Vinci Code, which is a novel, really is a novel. You need to come and see that we have 50-some, approaching 60 Stations of the Book to exhibit these manuscripts. We just put on display a new station, 58, the word in Ethiopic. I understand we have a short segment tape showing that. Let's put it up. I hope we can see it for the people. I'm going to send a cameraman down this week that will be able to take pictures without anybody in the way. That's a blow-up of me writing some of the verses in Ethiopic, but these are some priceless manuscripts. Some of them were obtained from Ethiopic Jews who went to Israel. That's one of the Gospels. These are irreplaceable original manuscripts. And as you well know, I have fallen in love with the Ethiopic language. To quote one of the great scholars of languages in the Middle East, someone or some people very intelligent conceive this precise language that has 210 different letters in its alphabet. Every letter of the alphabet is written 7 different ways, incorporating the vowel in the shape of the letter. But this is the most recent Ethiopic display, and I told you we have by far not all of our manuscripts on display, which is going to burst into full flower when we finish with the tower. But I'm about to put together, matching this Ethiopic, a Coptic manuscript display, Coptic manuscripts in the official language of the Coptic Church, Oharic. Mark founded the church, the Ethiopic. But Mark founded the Coptic Church, founded the Church at Alexandria. They all spoke Greek among the scholars. The religious language is the dialect of Boharic, primarily in Upper Egypt, and Sahidic, which predates the Boharic, by the way, is pretty much the language of Lower Egypt, upper reaches of the Nile. But as Latin became the language of the Catholic Church, Boharic Coptic became the language of the Coptic Church. And these are priceless, original manuscripts. You need to visit this display and the 57 other displays. That's a manuscript of all 4 of the Gospels right there. You got to see them up close to really appreciate them. So you need to make your reservations for the cathedral. I get a few more urgent calls. I'll show these people dancing again, but I think maybe we ought to show my good friend Lod Cook. Mr. Corporate America. Go down to the library, there'll be a bust of Laud there. Laud was the chairman of the Blue Ribbon Committee, where we of the committee raised the $10 million to restore the library after the terrible fire. We raised $8 million, and then the final $2 million, we just couldn't reach it. And I volunteered our network and conducted the telethon with Laud. We raised the final $2 million, but more importantly, we put it before the city. Laud and I have worked together on many projects. He then was the chairman of the Rebuild LA, the committee that rebuilt Los Angeles after the terrible riots and disasters. Laud and I have worked together on so many things, the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center, obtaining the designation of the USS Pasadena. My wife and I were with Laud and his wife a few weeks ago. We had a wonderful time down on Balboa Island where he has a place. But Laud's a longtime friend. The city owes him a lot. He was one of the first corporate leaders to make philanthropy a key part of the objectives of his leadership. ARCO's best days were when Laud was chairman. But he was at a recent anniversary service. He became known as Legs because he danced on the library telethon. And ever so often, I'll pull that out. But this was at the cathedral. He was a guest, and roll the tape.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for that great welcome. It's great to be back here. Thank you, Gene, for inviting me. Congratulations to you and to this congregation for your 26th anniversary. Fantastic. Incredible. 26 years of teaching God's word around the world. John 3:16, out there doing it for 26 years, truthfully, as Gene will only teach it. Gene, thank you for coming here and building this church. Thank you for staying more than 2 years. Thank you for staying 26 years. Thank you for being my friend. Do you know what you have here in this man? Do you know? Gene, Dr. Scott is a Renaissance man. He truly is, when you think about it. He's probably the best teacher of the Bible we have in the world today. Although I will admit he sometimes confuses me back at the board, but he teaches the truth, which is the important thing. He's a Renaissance man for many other reasons. He's a world-class collector, and you know that. He's a musician, we heard that today. And as Ed pointed out, he stood up for the government and won freedom for churches in this country. He's an artist. I've seen his paintings. They're extraordinary. And I could go on and on. He's truly a remarkable individual. And what's more important, he's chosen to spend his life teaching you and us and the world about salvation, about the resurrection, about what we believe in as Christians. Gene, thank you for that. Thank you for not being a hypocrite. Thank you for the truth. I want to take, Gene only invites me back after 15 years, so I want to take a couple of moments to reminisce a little bit. Gene has mentioned the telephone. I was hitting your word to death. He was going to show you that tape of me dancing on the telephone. And some of you remember, and you were so gracious along with Gene to make that time available to us to make people aware about our problem with restoring and replacing the books at the library. And I will tell you, the library is flourishing. The foundation we started at that time, Gene, has raised $35 million since then to help with library activities. But anyway, during the telethon, Gene interviewed noted authors. And he sat there for hours. I don't know how he did it, but he did. Did a marvelous job, extremely well read, as you know, in every subject. But along about 2 a.m., things, the band started playing Just a Gigolo. And I couldn't resist. Not that I of that profession, but I, my feet started itching, and I got up and started doing a soft shoe that I used to do back home in Louisiana. Well, I don't know. The phone started ringing. I had a friend call in and said, if you'd stop, I'll pledge $1,000. And a woman called in and said her dog loved it. Another one called in and said her dog didn't love it. But they both pledged, so that was fine. Anyway, we had a lot of fun, and we helped out the campaign. We actually raised, eventually, total in the campaign, over $11 million. And it was great fun working with Gene and all the people of the congregation that helped us out during that time. So, again, a belated thank you. Also, Gene mentioned my heart surgery about 7 years ago and his coming to the hospital, meaning so much to Carol and my family, seeing me through that. And very importantly, your prayer cards and letters that came in, a whole stack of them, I never will forget. And it just settled me down right away. I want to tell you, that meant so much to me, and I want to thank you now for that. And in closing, I'd simply like to read you one of my favorite Bible verses, Romans 8:28. I'm sure you all know it. And we know that all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. May God continue to bless you and Dr. Scott as you celebrate this day and continue serving his purpose. Thank you.
Happened to notice Lon's feet were moving to that song? Now, Lon, this is your home. You have had me in your home many times, and this is your home here. I would never, never embarrass you, never ask you to do something you didn't want to do. But can you soft shoe to that beat? Go with it. That's my friend Lod. One of the greatest compliments I've ever been paid. Thank you for Gene for not being a hypocrite. I'd rather have that than the goodwill of all the hypocrites. You know, regardless of your political affiliations, probably George Bush Sr. would not have been elected if it hadn't been for Lod Cook, who conducted the largest fundraiser in his home state of Louisiana, that's Lod's home state, rose from a country boy in Louisiana. I used to kid him and say, how does it feel, Lod, to be the head of the fifth largest country in the world? Fifth in product. He single-handedly was responsible for the British government saving British Petroleum as he came in as the White Knight and made that possible. And they loved Laud so much when he retired from ARCO. He had the chance to be the ambassador to England, but he and his wife wanted to retire and settle down a little bit. Friends like that cancel out scores of worthless enemies. Now, do you really want to see John and Reggie after that? Let's take a break first. Let me hear that grand old song. You're not calling while these people are dancing. Now, at least you can call during the song. Let's hear, again, one of my wife's arrangements of an old song, Peace in the Valley. You like that, huh? Somebody just called and said, "Sir, do you have Peace in the Valley on CD yet?" No, we're seeking permission, which shouldn't be that difficult. But we have the CD of His Eye is on the Sparrow. Isn't that it or no? When they ring the golden bells. Yeah, when they ring the golden bells on a CD, that's public domain. But for the song Peace in the Valley and for the blood, that ought to be not that difficult to obtain. Andre Crouch is a pastor in his father's church here in Los Angeles. I remember Andre from his beginnings. The song, If That Isn't Love, Precious Memories, we shouldn't have any trouble with. I'll check the date, but I think that's public domain. But these songs that are owned by other people, nobody protects intellectual property more than I do, and nobody's robbed more than I am. I mean, I have that mixed emotion of people that steal and will not give credit, which I'd let them do if they give credit. What I resent is the judgmental attitude of preachers who want to criticize Gene Scott for whatever dumb reason they'll come up with one. When I was saving all the churches from government encroachment years ago, and they were the beneficiaries, in two major battles, one very simple, it was Gene Scott that broke the back of the National Labor Relations Board when a federal judge was saying that television is so inherently commercial that if a church is on television for 5 minutes or even has an ad on radio or television, the National Labor Relations Board can intervene and interfere with their hiring and firing of employees. Churches owe me for that battle. They owe me for getting churches outside the charitable trust frame, where the Attorney General is the only person that can represent the church and can remove a board and put one of his own choosing and control the activities of a church. Then I was fighting too much. Then it was the horses. Then it was this. And then it was that. And if it wasn't the cigar, it'd be the hair color. You know, I dye my hair. I mean, a pretty good job. For 29 years, I've been able to fool all of you. This jet black hair from my Indian blood is dyed. And I lie a lot. And things like that. But you got to read the twinkle in my eyes. It's the same as crossing your fingers. I hate judgmental people. And I hate worse a judgmental person that is finding reasons to criticize me to his congregation so they won't listen to me and find out where the pastor's getting his message. And then I pray for God to stop me like he did on the book of Revelation before I finish it. And then they're out there like somebody floundering when they're swimming. And get these messages to me. It's important. They don't even pay their tithe where they're taught. I hate hypocrites. I really do. And I respect intellectual property, and we're going to get permission, and we're wanting to come out with a CD. For years, tried to find a CD where every song on it I wanted to listen to. Normally, I have to spin through three or four to find one that I like. We're going to give you one that you'll like them all. You'll like them all. Now, get on the telephone.